Before this morning, if you want to take out your Bibles or look up behind me, we're going to start in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe laying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the angels. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told to them. This is probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. This verse is from Luke. Even to Christians who barely crack open their Bible to read, or non-Christians. And part of it's because every year, starting in 1965, with Charlie Brown's Christmas, we hear these verses. And I'll tell you, I'm more tickled to hear this on TV right now than the election results and all the things that have been going on. It's a welcome change of pace to hear Scripture, but you know it, at one point that was going to be cut out. They didn't want it. They thought it was too religious to be in that program, but Charles Schulz insisted that remain in there, and it's lucky it was, because it became a huge hit. So every year since 1965, the message is shared in that way. And I've noticed on our TV, it's been on 3 or 4 times already, so there's multiple times that it's shown. But I'm concerned that maybe so much repetition, we become familiar. And with familiarity, they say, breeds contempt. But I just say we take it for granted as we hear this. We don't take the time to turn it over in our hearts, as they say, and think about the wondrous thing that happened. You think about how amazing this moment in time was. It's not about God's love for some shepherds, but it's truly about God's love for every one of us, for every man and woman that's born, not just Christians. So let's start by looking at the most obvious part of the story, and that's, who does God announce the birth of Jesus to? As some shepherds out in the fields, out on the hillsides. A ragtag collection of men. And you guys realize that this is the only recorded time in the Bible where Jesus' birth was announced. People were invited. It was only the shepherds. The one invitation goes to a bunch of smelly, ragtag men up on a hillside. You know, I've read up on the shepherds. A few years back, I did a thing dressed as a shepherd, but the shepherds were a unique group of people. They were kind of religious outcasts when you stop and think about it. In their line of work, that kind of prohibited them from participating in church on Sundays, because they couldn't leave the sheep in the fields. Somebody had to keep watch. And while everybody else was making a trip to Jerusalem, there sat the shepherds with their sheep. You know, a modern day example of that might be firemen, shift workers, people by the type of job they work, they're forced to work on Sundays and can't attend worship with their Christian brothers and sisters. But like the shepherds, it wasn't really their fault. They had a job to do, and it was an important job. But they were looked down on by some of the religious. And whatever might have been in their hearts, their desires, they just couldn't attend the religious ceremonies. But not only that, they were borderline social outcasts. They were constantly on the move to new pastures, moving from field to field and in different areas. You know, and they were looked on with suspicion when they come into their to these other people's areas. And I'm thinking, you know, we're comfortable with the people that we're around all the time. But what about the people that are transients that come in into our lives from time to time? And I was thinking about the migrant workers that move with the crops through the South and the West and up through California. You know, people have suspicion when they move through their areas. And that's kind of how it was for the shepherds as they moved along. They were accused of being thieves. Something come up missing, you know, it must have been them shepherds. Of course, we know that's not true. Well, for the most part. Did you know they were not permitted to give testimony in a legal proceeding? That surprised me. But they didn't really have much contact with people who took the time to go out in the fields and visit the shepherds. I have to believe it was a lonely existence with a bunch of dumb animals for your constant companions. And you know, it's not a 40-hour week job. The shepherds, as it said, they were living out in the fields. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Those animals need cared for. They're responsible for them. You stop and think that a lot of the shepherds were the sons of the fathers. And if a sheep come up missing, there was the wrath of the father you had to face. These were valuable animals, valuable commodity. At night, the shepherds slept with their sheep to protect them. And a good shepherd could identify his own sheep by sight. He knew his sheep and they knew him as their leader. Kind of sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Just as he knows us. John 10 verses 2 through 4 says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice." A sheep tends to learn. He knows who his shepherd is and he follows. I don't know if you've ever got to see a good collie working a herd of sheep. But they'll follow the dogs. The ones that lag behind will get urged along. But they'll follow the farmer. Being a shepherd, I have to believe, was lonely. And it was dangerous. Boring, tedious. It gave them a lot of contact with their sheep. And very little exposure to people. Ever think about King David? He spent his time in the fields. It probably gave him a lot of time to learn his music, to learn to play the lyre and sing. Many of the shepherds played instruments, the flute, the lyre, and other instruments because of the long, tedious hours. Now stop and think a minute. I want you to imagine that you're God. And you want to announce to the world the most amazing, incredible, joyous news ever announced. How do you do it? How do you announce the birth of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ? The birth of the Savior of the whole world. The one that the nation of Israel has been waiting for, hoping and praying for thousands of years. And this is in the moment in time. This is it. So how do you do it? How do you announce it? Who do you invite to come and see? Now let's bring it up to our time today. The closest we can come would be an announcement of a birth to the royal family. Let's just go with England and Princess Diana's sons, Henry and William. About forgot their names. Now I went back in time a little bit because there was no social media then like we have now. So how do you announce it? Well, if you followed in God's example, maybe they would have sent a message down to the docks to the longshoremen or the fishmongers and invited them. Maybe they'd have sent invitations to the taxi drivers in London to come to Windsor Castle and see the new baby. But really, I'm guessing that if personal announcements were sent out, they were nice folded paper embossed in gold, and it wasn't sent to the lower class of London's people. It would have been sent to the rulers, to the movers and the shakers. The point is, you'd expect an event like the birth of Jesus to be announced to the most important people in that nation. The political leaders, the kings, the governors, maybe even Caesar would have got an announcement. Might have been invited to come and pay homage to the future ruler. Maybe the religious leaders, the priests, the rabbis, synagogue officials, the head of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, surely they would have got personal invitations to come and worship with Jesus. Maybe the military leaders, they played a big part in those times. There were standing armies in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. Maybe you need to send invitations to them. But none of them got the word. None of them were invited to come and see Jesus the Christ child. Yeah, some foreign kings figured it out later and sent some wise men following a star to find him, but they didn't get a personal invitation. Only these few poor shepherds out in the field received a personal invitation from God himself. These religious and social outcasts that sat with their sheep. So why did he do this? Why did God do this? You know, I read one place, they said, well, Jesus was to be the shepherd of his flock, so that's why God first announced it to the shepherds. But I don't follow that line of thinking. I go with an easier one. I believe God wanted to show us that we all matter. You know, were these shepherds unusually holy or pious? We don't read anything in the scriptures that say they were. We read where they couldn't attend the celebrations. They couldn't go worship with other believers. So there's nothing to tell us they were more religious than anybody else. Maybe they were expecting Jesus more than anybody else. Well, I don't think that's true either. Because I think if you're a shepherd, you're more lying along the line of thought that God has no idea who you are. They don't sacrifice the temple. How could God know where they're at? Who can they know who they are? Their deepest religious discussions are probably with sheep. And if God doesn't know who I am, how can he think much of me? So why did God send the angels first to the shepherds? I believe God wanted to show his love does not discriminate on the basis of class, of wealth, or social standing. God does not respect kings. He does not respect kings and princes better than the hourly laborers. And God does not value priests or pastors above the people that sit in the pews. God does not show favoritism. He doesn't give preferential treatment to one group of people over the other. His love is available to everyone on the same basis, equally shared. Faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. Many of past passages we have in Scripture spell this out, that God loves to lift up the lowly and the humble, at the same time bringing down the proud and the self-satisfied. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 28, Samuel says, "You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down." Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." And in Matthew 23:12 it says, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." God was demonstrating all of this by his decree and his invitation to these humble shepherds. They were the first to receive the news of Christ's birth. See, Jesus wasn't going to be the savior of the religious elite or the wealthy or the kings that sat on their thrones. Jesus is a savior of all equally. And we need to remember that when we get a little puffed up and proud of ourselves, maybe in our social standing or even in our religious conduct, we get to looking at ourselves maybe a little better than we're looking at those around us. God's going to take us down a peg, because that's not the way it is. God loves us all equally, and we're all treated the same equally. Paul made this point in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." In other words, God is going to use the humble, not the proud. There's a problem when the proud and the mighty want to be used. You see, in their pride, they can say, "Look what I did." But when God selects the humble, the weak, the ones we view as unable to do it, and they succeed, then you can see the power of the Lord. No one can take for granted the things that were done, because it had to be the Lord that accomplished them. I read somewhere where They said the man of average abilities will be the one to succeed. I had trouble. I don't know what average abilities are, but I do know what they were trying to point out. If we're obedient to God, whatever task He sets before us, relying on Him, it will be accomplished, and He will receive the glory. So what does all this mean to me? Well, if you identify with the shepherds, it should all be very encouraging. Perhaps you see yourself as like an outsider looking in. I imagine that many nights the shepherds set out on the cold hillsides and could see down in a little village or a camp and see the lights, see the fires burning, and the families that would be gathered there thinking, here I am, alone and lowly with just my sheep. Maybe you felt that way too. Maybe you felt like you're on the outside and you can see the light shining in other houses. I'll tell you, if you watch TV today, there's so many reality shows that say if you're not one of the beautiful people, you're not worth anything. So much in this world today, we see the glitz, the power, hungry, the money. I heard it said these shows, they're about people that are famous for only being famous. I guess like the Kardashians and the housewives of whatever cities they happen to be in. They're the ones saying, look at me. I'm the proud. I'm the successful. This is what you need to strive to be. But I tell you today, that's not what you strive to be. I don't know that many of us will ever see our pictures in the paper with articles we've written to be famous, write a book. For most of us, we're on what they call the fringes of society. We're not famous, but we all do our parts. And God looks at the humble, and those are the ones that He uses to raise up and spread the word of Jesus Christ. And I think about this season, and who better to tell about the message that the angels gave to the shepherds than us, the ones that are sitting here on Sunday morning. Maybe you compare your religious service to others. Maybe the comparison isn't as favorable as you would like it to be. You know, we can't compare ourselves to the great evangelists of this world or the preachers on TV or the preachers on radio. God has their own mission for them, but He has a mission for us. It may be more humble, but it needs to be accomplished. I have great news. I have the best possible news. God loves you as much as He loved those shepherds. He loved those shepherds so much, He gave them a special privilege of being the first to hear the news of Jesus Christ. Stop and think about it, and I always wonder at this. They were the first that got to see Mary and baby Jesus. And not only that, they were invited by God Himself to come and see the new Savior. That should leave you in awe of God's love for these shepherds. The shepherds were willing to believe. The verses said, let's go. Let's go and see. You know, it doesn't say they had to hold a meeting first or find people to watch over their flocks, which I don't understand, other than the fact that God took care of the sheep because they went. They want to see this amazing sight. to see the wonderful news, they simply acknowledged what the angels told them and went. I'm always amazed at the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm caught up in the shepherds and what they did. And the fact that they got to be invited, the fact that they were common, ordinary men. Same as we are here today. Common, ordinary men and women. But you have an invitation. I want to ask you, what will you do today? You see, God didn't give us an angel to invite us to see the baby Jesus, but he did send you me with a message to go and see. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. Right here today, God is inviting you, just like he did the angels, or the shepherds, but the angels. The question is, what will you do? Will you receive his love? Will you believe what he asked you to do? Are you going to take action? For some of you, is it time for you to acknowledge your need of forgiveness and turn your heart over to Jesus Christ? Is it time for you to reach out for Christ for your salvation? John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that's a decision you want to make today, I ask you, please, let me help you with the next step to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. But what about if you're here today and you don't identify with the shepherds, but you align yourself with the religious elites, the powerful? I just want to remind you that in God's sight, you're on the same level as the shepherds. Pride goes before a fall. If you have a prideful heart, God will remove that. I just pray this morning that you'll humble yourself before God and you'll accept the message of the angels to the shepherds and truly rejoice in this season in the birth of Jesus Christ. And finally, I ask you to do what the angels did. In verse 17, it said they spread the word. How much more right now in this season than any other time of the year that we spread the word of Jesus Christ, share the message that the angels had for the shepherds. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for your people. Father, your undying love, the love you give equally to all people. I thank you for the message that you gave the shepherds. And I thank you for that same message today for us, to go and to see and to worship Jesus Christ. While we don't have a baby before us, Father, we have the Spirit. We have the love and the understanding of who you are and who Jesus Christ was. And I just pray in this season that we rejoice. I just pray that you'll instill us a need to go and share the great news of Jesus Christ, just as the angels did with the shepherds. It's in Jesus' name and I pray. Amen.